praise from our hearts. Let's put our spirit in our praise. Come on, let's give Him praise. Fill this house with praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me just be very brief in my preliminary remarks tonight. It would take a long time to say all the things that I feel like saying and really deserve to be said, but there's such a powerful, powerful visitation of the Holy Ghost in this place. I just want to get on with the business of what God wants to do in this house tonight. If you really know what I think we have just experienced a little foretaste, not of heaven, but of what God wants to do in this place tonight. I think we're about to be visited in a supernatural manner tonight. Now, I'm anxious to get on with that, but I do want to briefly say thank you, committee, for honoring me with the invitation to come and participate in this conference. This is a fantastic conference. And for the first year, it's just amazing at how well things have gone and how beautifully the Lord has blessed the attendance. Everything has been just exceptional in this conference, and I do appreciate you brethren honoring me with the invitation to come and to be here. I have been greatly blessed by the preaching of the word of the Lord. You just could not go anywhere and hear better preaching than you have heard this week. Couldn't go anywhere and hear better preaching than you have heard this week. It has been absolutely outstanding. There have been so many gestures of hospitality demonstrated towards me. You folks have certainly proven the cliche true Southern hospitality. You have demonstrated that it is true. And I commend you and thank you for all of your gestures of hospitality. It's been good to see all the brethren that are here, be with you, fellowship with you, see you again. What can I say about this building? It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And I have known people who would think this was extravagant and that money is wasted. But I commend this church and this pastor for building a glorious and beautiful and magnificent structure. When I drove up here, I didn't feel jealous. I didn't feel envious. I felt motivated. Praise God. Amen. And I told Brother Carney today, you have helped raise the standards. And I'm not talking about lifestyle and dress. I'm talking about the standards of what Pentecost is. We have the greatest message. We have the message. We have the greatest worship. We are the genuinely born again children of God. And our Father is a King who is the King of every other King. And I don't think we just have to worship in shacks. Amen. I think this is pleasing to God. And I know that every church can't do this right now. And I know that every pastor cannot enter into a building program to accomplish this right now. But you ought to let this be something to shoot for. Amen. You ought to let it motivate you and say, listen, we may not can get there yet, but we can get closer to there than we are. And give God our very, very, very best. Can you say amen? Amen. Just everything about this entire conference, the order, the planning, the manner in which it has been conducted and carried out has been, it's just been beautiful. And what can I say about the music? It's just been phenomenal. I've had such a good time listening to that choir and worshiping with them. And if I'd have danced like I felt like dancing just now, I wouldn't have had any energy to preach. I had to pull the reins back a little bit. And I've got a feeling they're going to sing a little more here in a while. And I got a feeling all of us are going to dance a little more tonight. You have your dancing shoes on. Look over to the person next to you and say, do you have your dancing shoes on? Amen. Hallelujah. There's Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I am reading 5 very, very familiar verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul writing, he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to read verse 2 again. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse number 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on the simplicity of revival. The simplicity of revival. Would you lift both of your hands and ask God to direct us and accomplish His perfect will in the remainder of this service? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, touch my mind, my heart, and my spirit. Allow me to speak as your oracle right now. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, you'd give me access to the hearts and the minds and the spirit of all who are here. And I pray, God, that you will receive glory in this service. I pray, O Lord, that somehow we can make room for the working of your spirit in this house. Do miracles, signs, and wonders in this place. I pray for deliverance tonight. I pray, O God, that you would work miracles. I pray, O Lord God, that you would accomplish works of your Spirit that would bring you great glory and bring great faith to the hearts of your people. I pray in your holy, in your mighty, in your wondrous name of Jesus. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. Clap your hands and give the Lord praise one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, the hardest people in the world to preach to are people who, Pentecostal people, who just got finished shouting. Now, if that's true, I'm in trouble tonight. But I'll tell you what I'm placing my hope in, what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that you're not finished. I'm hoping you didn't just get finished shouting. Hope you'll shout with the Word of God tonight. Rejoice in the Word of the Lord tonight. You may be seated. Amen. What I have to say tonight is not intellectually impressive. However, it is my desire that somebody would leave this place tonight convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think you really heard what I said. I don't want you to leave here nodding assent. I don't want you to leave here when I say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just clapping your hands a little bit. I don't want you to leave here tonight saying, yes, I agree with what he said. But I hope somebody will walk out of this place tonight with an absolute conviction that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray when you leave here tonight, it's not just a familiar scripture verse. It's not just something you have read on a plaque, on a wall somewhere on occasion. I trust that it's not something you just remember your Sunday school teacher having said. But when you walk out of here tonight, I hope there's a fire burning in your heart, a confidence in your soul, and you say to yourself with deep, settled assurance, Jesus is just as real tonight as he ever was. He's just as powerful tonight as he ever was. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. In fact, say it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say it again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe it, clap your hands and rejoice in that truth tonight. Oh, hallelujah. There's so much Holy Ghost in this place, you can almost reach out and just touch it physically. Hallelujah. Jesus is in this place. Jesus is in this place. Jesus is in this house. Jesus is in this house. I've known people just fall out and faint and when they got in the presence of some movie star. When the President of the United States of America walks into a joint session of our Congress, they will stand and for long minutes they will give applause to a man. But I have come to tell you tonight that Jesus is in this place. Without a shadow of a doubt, I assure you, Jesus, 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 my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, he's in this place. He is here. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Let me tell you something else. This Jesus who is here, I believe, is the God of the book of Genesis. I said the Jesus that is here, the very Jesus who is in this place, whom we feel and whose presence we are experiencing, He is the God of the book of Genesis. The Jesus who is in this place is the God who stepped into the blackness of nothing and spoke the stars into the heavens and caused the planets to find their orbits. He is the God who by the very power of His will and His word spoke all that is into existence. And I preach to you tonight that God, His name is Jesus, and He is in this place tonight. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I preach to you tonight that the Jesus who is here is the Jehovah of Israel. I thought all of you believed that. I said, I thought everybody here believed that the Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I thought we all believed that the Jesus whose presence is in this place is the Jehovah of Israel. He's Israel's God. He's the God that spoke from the burning bush. He's the God that sent the plagues to the land of Egypt. He's the God that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. He's the God that rained the manna from heaven. He's the God that sent the quail on the wings of the wind. He's the God that anointed the prophets. And I tell you, His name is Jesus, and He's in this place tonight. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Here! Hallelujah! I believe that the Jesus who is in this place tonight is the same Jesus. The same Jesus. I love that phrase. The angel said to the disciples of the Lord as He ascended into the heavens, He said, "This same Jesus. This same Jesus. This same Jesus." The Jesus who is in this place is the Jesus of the New Testament. He's the Jesus of Bethlehem's manger. He's the Jesus that astounded the doctors and the lawyers. He's the Jesus that turned the water into wine. He's the Jesus that opened the blinded eyes and unstopped the deaf ears. He's the Jesus that caused the lame to walk. He's the Jesus that walked on the waters. He's the Jesus that spoke to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." He's the Jesus that broke the bread and fed the multitude. That Jesus, I said, that Jesus is in this house tonight. Somebody ought to be excited about it. It ought to thrill somebody's heart. Somebody ought to be rejoicing. Somebody ought to do a little dance. Because Jesus, 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 Jesus is here. He's here. Come on, clap your hands and praise Him. That's what this is all about. It's about Jesus. That's what this building's all about. It's about Jesus. It's what this singing's all about. It's about Jesus. That's what all this preaching ought to be about. It ought to be about Jesus. That's what the church is all about. It's about Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. We can keep our focus on Jesus. We can let Jesus receive honor. If we can allow Jesus to do His works. If we can make room for Jesus, I'm telling you, we will have New Testament revival in this hour day. We always seem to be looking for some mysterious new method.
We always seem to be exploring for some new idea or method that'll work better than previous methods. We want a rabbit in the hat. We want a card up the sleeve. We want a secret or a trick. We want a magical term. We want some way to do this, to get the job done, to build the churches, to reach the world. We want somebody to come along who's got an idea that we have never heard before. And we want them to share it with us. And we have fallen into a snare of thinking somehow in our exploration of new things we're as bad as the Athenians that Paul talked about. They're always looking for some new thing, some new thing, some new way, a better way to do it, a better way to get the job done. I am telling you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, it's not hard to have revival. It's not complicated to have revival. It's not complicated to reach this world. You just got to make room for Jesus. You got to let Jesus take over. You got to let Jesus work. You got to focus everything on Jesus. You got to let Him do what He wants to do. I can tell I hit this little snag right there. So I got to work a while. I'm going to preach till you believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't need some new thing. We just need Jesus. We need to get rid of our carnality and get Jesus. We need to get rid of our ego and get Jesus. We need to get rid of our worldliness and get Jesus. Jesus would do it. I said He's big enough. He's powerful enough. He's wise enough. Jesus can do it. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. I think if we can let people believe that we have knowledge they don't have, or an idea that they don't have, or a way that they don't know, and they seek us out to find out what we know, it puts us in a little bit of a superior position. Then we can teach those unlearned people in a condescending manner now. You know, if you'll do it like I do it and do what I do, if you'll learn to be as good as I am at doing this, that, and the other, then you can have apostolic revival, New Testament revival. And so we approach revival that way. And sometimes we allow ourselves to get caught in that trap. But somehow tonight, I know that this is simple. I know that my preaching is elementary. That's my objective tonight. I have come to make this as simple as I possibly can. I've come to convince you that Jesus is the answer. The working of His Spirit is the answer. The manifestation of His power is the answer. Clap your hands to the Lord again. While we're always searching for some new thing, our text lets us to know that Paul had the opposite attitude. He didn't want to know some new thing. As a matter of fact, he said, I know all I want to know about this. He said, as a matter of fact, a lot of things I have learned, I'm laying down. I'm erasing them from my mind. When I came to Corinth, and I want you to know, they had glorious revival in the city of Corinth. And a mighty New Testament church was established. He said, when I came, I didn't come looking for a new way. I didn't come trying to find a new method. I didn't come trying to find out some secret, a rabbit in the hat, or trick. But he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All I've got to know is Jesus, 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 the miracle worker, Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, the deliverer, Jesus, the way maker, Jesus, the problem solver, Jesus, who has the answer to every situation, Jesus, who can do anything that needs to be done. How I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've read it to you already. But he said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. That sounds like an excuse some of us would give. Because we don't have any big words. We don't have a great vocabulary. And so we say things like, you know, I'm not going to use any big words tonight because I want everybody to understand. But it wasn't the case with the Apostle Paul. You're talking about a man who had attended the greatest schools of his day. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He probably spoke 7 different languages. He was probably one of the most highly educated men of his era. He was a scholar par excellence. He could argue with the best of them. He knew what to say and when to say. But Paul said, when I came to Corinth, I made up my mind I was just going to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when I preach, it's not going to be with enticing words of men's wisdom. But he said, you want to know how I established the church in Corinth? He said it was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. Everybody say, in the demonstration of the Spirit. In the demonstration of the Spirit. Say it again. Say it again. In the demonstration of the Spirit. Say it again. In the demonstration of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit. The Spirit of God. The eternal God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Old Testament prophets. The God that took on flesh in Bethlehem's manger. The Spirit of God that descended upon the believers in Jerusalem. Amen. He said, the way I'm going to build this church is by the demonstration of the Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let Him do His thing. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost do. Can I preach to you? This New Testament church is a Holy Ghost church. I said, this is a Holy Ghost church. This is a Holy Ghost church. The fuel the church runs on is Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You can't fill it up with intellect and it run right. You can't fill it up with ideas, men's ideas, and it run right. You can't put the philosophy of men in this thing and it operate right and get the proper results. The fuel this church runs on is Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You need to fill yourself up with Holy Ghost. Fill your church up with Holy Ghost. Fill your city up with Holy Ghost. That's what makes this church run right. It's a Holy Ghost church. It's a Holy Ghost church. When are we going to understand? When are we going to comprehend? This is a spiritual entity. There's nothing in the world like the church. There's not a company. There's not an organization. There's not a movement in all the world that's like the church of the living God. This is a spiritual body. This is a Holy Ghost church. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know you all can quote it. And again, it's so very, very simple. But oh, thank God for Zechariah 4:6. It's still true. Brother Mallory got on it today, and I just closed up my Bible and said, we'll just run his tape again tonight. Hallelujah. Zerubbabel out there trying to lay the foundation of the temple for the rebuilding of the temple, working in cooperation with Ezra, running into difficulties, obstacles, hindrances, opposition from the enemy. Of course, that never happened in this building project. Amen. And so Zerubbabel's a little bit discouraged. I never seen a man of God go through a building project yet that didn't experience a day or two of discouragement. But God called a prophet aside. Said, I want you to go tell Zerubbabel something. I want you to tell him the foundation's going to be laid. The work's going to be accomplished. The job's going to get done. But I want him to know that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who said that? What university professor said that? What political leader? No, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I said, God said it. And it was true for Zerubbabel. It was true in Ezra's day. It was true in Zechariah's day. It was true in the Apostle Paul's day. I tell you, at the end and the closing of this century, it's still true. If the work of God will be done, it will not be done by might, nor by power, by men's ingenuity, but what we can do by our talent, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching? Somebody show me you believe what I'm preaching. Somebody acknowledge your agreement. You may be seated. The physician Luke wrote the book of Luke. And it's the story of Jesus. The book of Luke is the story of Jesus. The book of Luke records the birth of Jesus. It records the life of Jesus. It records the ministry of Jesus. It tells us about the death of Jesus. It talks to us about the resurrection of Jesus. It tells us about the ascension of Jesus. It's the story of Jesus. His birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. It looks like that's the whole story. He addressed that treatise to a man by the name of Theophilus. But Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And when he sat down to write the book of Acts, we find out immediately that he's writing to the same man. He sent the former treatise, O Theophilus, talking about the book of Luke. The last treatise I wrote you, the last letter that I sent to you, the former treatise, O Theophilus, I wrote concerning the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Wait a minute, Luke. In the book of Luke, you wrote about his birth, his life, his death, his ministry, his resurrection, his ascension. You wrote all of that. That looks like the beginning to the ending. And now you're writing the second treatise, and you're telling us that that story about Jesus was only the beginning of the doings of Jesus? I've come to tell you tonight that when he stepped up on that little cloud and gravity lost its hold and he ascended into the heavens, that Jesus had just got started. he had only gotten started. What Luke was telling Theophilus is, what I'm writing down in Luke's book now is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You don't see him in the flesh. You don't reach out and touch him. You can't handle him and talk to him face to face. But he's there just as real as he was when he walked on the face of the earth 33 and a half years. All through the book of Acts, Jesus is still healing. Jesus is still doing miracles. Jesus is still delivering. Jesus is still doing the supernatural. Can I tell somebody in Columbia, Mississippi tonight, there's no amen on the book of Acts? I said the book of Acts does not conclude with an amen. I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't finished at the close of the book of Acts. But on this night in Columbia, Mississippi, Jesus is still healing the sick, opening the blinded eyes. He's not here in the flesh, but he's here in the spirit. We're not here to lift up one another. We're not here to give somebody glory. We're here to see what Jesus wants to do tonight. We're here to see what Jesus wants to accomplish. Because Jesus is in this place. And he is the same. He is the same. He is the same. We're not looking for Randy Keyes' demonstration, the choir's demonstration. We're not looking for the demonstration of some person. We're looking for the demonstration of the Spirit. Clap your hands to the Lord if you believe it. I feel faith rising in this place. Somebody who's sick in this building needs to let faith get a hold of your heart tonight. Somebody that needs a miracle needs to let faith rise up in your spirit tonight. Some preacher, the devil has beat down and lied to you and told you your plight is helpless and hopeless. You need to understand that Jesus, the miracle worker, is in this place tonight. It's not complicated to have revival. It's not hard to have revival. Just got to let everything that's in the way of Jesus be taken out of the way. And let Jesus do his thing. Don't have to be smart to have revival. Don't have to have a great education to have revival. Don't even have to have a choir like this. And certainly don't have to have a building like this to have revival. But if you can have Jesus... I said, if you can have Jesus, you can have revival. Be seated. I remember one of the first revival meetings I ever preached. I wasn't qualified to be an evangelist. And the man that had just started this church was less qualified to be a pastor than I was to be an evangelist. He demonstrated his lack of good judgment when he asked me. He'd gone into this little country city. Some of you didn't know California had country towns, but it's got a lot of them. He went into this little country town and couldn't afford to rent a building in any decent location. And so he went down to the street called Skid Row. And he rented a little building. I mean, just a little narrow building. And on one side of the building, and it wasn't like it was the next building, it was that wall was the wall for both buildings. On the other side of the wall was a bar. On the other side of that wall was a pool hall. What a place for a church. He called me, said, let's have a revival. Will you preach for us? Oh, yes. I'd have paid to have got to preach that revival. Probably did by the time you figured out all the expenses of getting there and what I got. He had an old pulpit somebody had thrown out of their church. It was rickety, wobbled.
and a piano in about the same condition, keys peeled off. You know, some keys on a piano are supposed to be black and some are supposed to be white. On this piano, there were more black ones than there were supposed to be. Some of the ones that are supposed to be white were black. And had a few old wooden benches somebody had discarded from their Sunday school room, just 6 or 8, he said, right down in the middle of this little old building. And it was a good thing he had a lot of kids, because all I had to preach to was he and his wife, my wife and his kids. It helped that he had a bunch of kids. And so we went there to have revival. Now, I didn't know anything about it being an evangelist. I didn't know anything about anything. Except I knew you had to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you had to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. When you got it, you'd speak in tongues. I knew that, and I knew how to worship God. That's all I knew. I knew Acts 2:38, and I knew how to shout. That's all I knew. And the preacher's wife played the piano. And she was a less accomplished pianist than I was preacher. She played everything in C chord. That's all she knew. C, G, C, F, C, G, F. And so if you sing everything in C, that means some songs you sing way up here and some you sing way down here. Once in a while, you'll find one that's supposed to be in C. So here we have a pastor that's less qualified than the evangelist, and a pianist that's less qualified than the pastor. And we're in a building on Skid Row between the bar and the pool hall. And so every night we have church. Sing 3 songs. Everybody testifies. Didn't take long. Now we'll turn the service to the evangelist. And I get up, and I don't know where I heard it, but somebody told me you had to preach 30 minutes or you really hadn't preached a sermon. And I didn't know enough to preach 30 minutes. So I figured it out. I preached Acts 2:38 as fast and furious and as loud as I could. I'd preach Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38. And then, when I ran out of breath, I'd shout. I'd dance. I'd holler, hallelujah. And watch my watch. I was taking up time. And so I'd do that for 30 minutes every night. We'd go to church, sing 3 songs, and see chord. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody testify. Evangelist, get up and preach Acts 2:38 and shout. Every night. We did it for a week. We did it for 2 weeks. We did it for 3 weeks. Of course, we were praying and fasting too. Lo and behold, one night somebody came. And it got better. You arrest me tonight, and I have the last word. Son, young man, we're old time friends. Don't get nervous. I've known him since just after he got out of diapers. Amen. Hallelujah.
got the Holy Ghost. That person that came got the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Brother Cornwell, that's when you was preaching those big revivals. We were both in California. You was in the big church. I was in the between the bar and the pool hall. And I was between the bar and the pool hall, singing in C chord and preaching Acts 2:38 and shouting. And somebody got the Holy Ghost. And she went home and told her family and brought a bunch of her family the next night. And two or three of them got the Holy Ghost the next night. They went out and told somebody else, and the next night some more came and got the Holy Ghost. In a few nights, we had a bunch of them have the Holy Ghost down on Skid Row between the bar and the pool hall, singing in C chord, preaching Acts 2:38 and shouting. Brother Carney, I just got this feeling. You've come a long ways, Randy Keys. It's a long ways from the bar and the pool hall. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in those churches in that area, they all have little networks, you know. Not that way in Mississippi, I'm sure, Elder Travis. But somebody's related to somebody in the other church, and somebody, you know, knows somebody. And work got out that down there in that little home missions church, they were having a revival, and people were really getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, in churches where nobody got the Holy Ghost for 3 and 4 years at a time, they were hearing about us down between the bar and the pool hall, singing in C chord, and people getting the Holy Ghost. And so they started bringing their chronics over to the bar between the bar and the pool hall. And we'd just sing in C chord and preach Acts 2:38 and shout and pray their chronics through to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. One night, I walked in and I looked out there and I saw a bunch of visitors. And I saw a man there. I need a chair over here. I saw a man there I knew. He wasn't a preacher. He was from a neighboring church. He was one of those that had been in the way a long time. Probably one of the reasons that church didn't have many get the Holy Ghost. And by that time, we'd fill up the benches down the center, and we set chairs around the outside of the building. And there was only one chair left, and it was up pretty close to where the little pulpit was off to my right. And this man, you know, he was one of these fellas that just knew a lot of things. He was older than I was. At the time, I thought he was pretty old, but now he was just older than I was. He sat there in that chair, and I'll never forget how he crossed his legs. He had a long nose. Still does. It's still long. And he kind of leaned his head back, looked around. I mean, it was wild. Friend, we screamed loud. We jumped high. We did. I'm telling you, we thought volume was the answer. Amen. We sang and we testified. And I thought, man, I've preached Acts 2:38 every way I know to preach it, forwards and backwards. I put it in the middle and on the end and both ends. I've preached Acts 2:38 every way I can imagine. I don't know what to preach tonight. I don't know how to do this. I looked out there and I saw three people that I knew needed the Holy Ghost. Now, they were chronics from other churches. Anybody know what a chronic is? Hopefully there are none left in Mississippi. But at that time, before Brother Cornwell finished his tenure out there, we had some chronics. He got rid of most of them. But we had three chronics there from another church. And I said, I'm just, you know, I'm going to try something different tonight. So I jumped up to the pulpit when it was my time. I mean, I rushed the pulpit. I said, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Just fast as I could and as loud as I could. I said, anybody here want the Holy Ghost tonight?
These three men lifted their hands.
I said, all right, come on down here. God's ready to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. So they got up and they came on down there. And something intuitively, you know, that's how the Spirit works a lot. I call it Holy Ghost intuition. I wasn't smart enough to know this stuff. It was just Holy Ghost intuition. I knew that the climate wasn't right for these people to get the Holy Ghost. Something had to change. These people had to worship or something while all this was going on. And so I said, everybody else stand up. And they all stood up. I said, all right, we're going to have a victory march. How many ever been in a victory march? And I thought it was written in the manual somewhere that when you have a victory march, you sing when the saints go marching in. So the pastor's wife gets over there, hits C chord, boom, boom. And they start singing when the saints go marching in. Everybody starts marching around the building. Now, Mr. You know it all, he didn't get in the victory march. He just sat there like this. Amen. So they start marching. And I'm feeling pretty good because there's a little action and something's happening. And I get up there and I said, all right, I want everybody to keep on marching. I want you to march until God fills these three men with the Holy Ghost. I know now what some of those people were thinking. I didn't then. Some of them were thinking this, young, green, wet behind the ears evangelist is going to have us marching till 1 o'clock this morning before he figures out these men are chronics. And so they got to marching. And I stepped back and I was feeling good. We had more people there than we'd ever had there and more noise than we'd ever had. And it was getting exciting. I looked down in the pulpit, that little wobbly pulpit. We had a little cardboard box of little instruments we used on Sunday morning to give kids to come to church. We had little Sunday school bands, you know. We'd get them to come and say, come to Sunday school, and then you can be in the Sunday school band. And there was triangles and bells, little triangles, little bells, and some of these little big baby rattlers and little bunch of those things down there in that little box. I wasn't thinking. I just reached out and grabbed that box and ran out there. And when this saint walked by, I gave him a triangle. When that one marched by, I gave him a shaker. And when that one marched by, I gave him a bell. I said, play him and sing. So here they were. Most of those people, I'm sure by now, were wishing they had not have come. But they were there and didn't know how to gracefully exit. And so they were caught up in this thing. And here we were, victory marching, playing baby rattlers and triangles, and singing when the saints go marching in, and C chord. I'm feeling good. My faith's moving by that time. I march over, and I say, you know what? God wants to give you the Holy Ghost right now. And I lay my hands on the man, and somehow my faith was transmitted to him. And that man instantly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Oh, you think about something happening to my faith. Friend, it took off like a rocket. Woo! Hey, man, I thought I could have prayed the devil through right then. And that man had been standing right there and watched that man. And because he saw that man got the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he believed he could get the Holy Ghost. And so I laid my hands on him, and he got the Holy Ghost and started talking in tongues. And all the time, these people are marching around looking over their shoulder, playing their little triangles. Now, that third one was a tough one. It had been 27 years since he had first started coming for the Holy Ghost. But I didn't care. I'm telling you, I had so much faith. Amen. I knew he'd get the Holy Ghost. And he felt like I believed that. And no one had ever believed he could get the Holy Ghost. He'd never been around anybody that believed he could really get the Holy Ghost. And he just seemed to get the Holy Ghost. And I said, keep on marching. We're going to march till God fills him with the Holy Ghost. I'm sure that put a damper on some of their spirit. But I jumped over there, laid my hands on him. He fell on his back on the floor. And before he hit the floor, he was speaking in other tongues. Between the bar and the pool hall. Sit over there, Brother Hurst. Sit over there. Cross your legs. Lean your head back. I'm telling you, I was intimidated when that fella first came to church. But by that time, wasn't nobody in the world going to intimidate me. I had broke out of the jailhouse of intimidation. I was wild-eyed and crazy. I couldn't help it. I don't know if I was in the Holy Ghost or not, but I just went to bouncing over to where that old man was.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I said, well, what do you think? I'll never forget. I hope they tell it at my funeral. I'll never forget. He kind of scooted out to the edge of his chair. And he said, well, I don't understand it all, but it's working. I said, understand. Just preach the truth and let the Holy Ghost work. Just preach the truth and let Jesus do His thing. I'm telling you, by that method, we can turn the world upside down. I don't think you believe what I'm preaching. I think you think we got to have some fancy program. We got to have some kind of superior understanding. We got to know some secret or trick. No, 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 no. Just preach the truth and turn it over to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm going to stay as far out of this as I can. But we've got to have the demonstration of the Spirit. The demonstration of the Spirit! Come on, clap your hands. Entertain the presence of the Lord in this place. Come on, let's praise Him a little more. Jesus is here. The healer's here. The miracle worker's here. The God of all gods is in this place. Jesus, 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 Jesus is here. I know that I've been preaching a little while, but I feel like going just a little further. So last night, let's squeeze everything out of it we can. Somebody getting ready to get healed tonight? Somebody getting ready for a miracle tonight? Some pastor getting ready to take revival back home with you tonight? And I felt something in the Holy Ghost just then. And I'm going to go after it. I'm preaching to some pastor that devil's told you long enough. You can't have revival in your church and your city. You've tried everything you know to try and done everything you know to do and tried everything everybody told you to try. And you still haven't had revival. I'm telling you tonight, you're going to get a hold of something and go back home with an answer. the supernatural, you may be seated, the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the answer for pastoral work. It's the answer for pastoral work. Amen. I'm not into this counseling business. It wasn't in my calling to be a therapist. I'm just not a good one, don't want to try to be one. I'm not a therapist. Hallelujah. Get an appointment with me is pretty difficult. And I don't feel guilty when I don't have time for counseling sessions. Don't feel guilty at all. Some of you have been sitting around listening to so much negativism by the same old people for so long, it's drained and stolen your faith. I wish I had time to preach a message tonight about the thieves of faith. You got to learn to guard your faith, friend. It's when you get it, it's the most priceless treasure you'll have this side of heaven. You can't let those old negative, prayerless, carnal, world-loving people steal your faith. I won't even run with people that are out to get my faith. I won't even ask them how they're doing. Hallelujah. One day this lady got an appointment with me. She sat down. Now, this is not a very dignified term, but I don't know any way to describe her demeanor any more accurately than by using this term. She started whining. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time. Does that bother you, Brother Cornwell? Oh. She started in telling me all her problems. And the Holy Ghost, it was like a picture in front of me. I stopped her. I said, "No, ma'am. That's not your problem. Your problem is the television hidden in your closet and the soap operas you're addicted to. And you have taken on the spirit of the soap operas." I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost makes pastoring a lot easier. The Holy Ghost makes pastoring a lot easier. I don't know if she's ever asked for another appointment. I was walking through the prayer room. This happened the other night. One of my good men, he's praying. You know, I could tell he's struggling a little bit praying. I thought, oh, he's got a problem. And I start to walk by. I didn't smell it. I saw it here somewhere. And I just laid my hand over on his shoulder. I said, "You know what, my brother? I'm going to make it a special purpose this week to pray that God delivers you from that cigarette addiction." Good man. Can you imagine all the havoc that would have been created because of the guilt and condemnation and turmoil in his life because that thing had him bound? But in one instant's time, the Holy Ghost gave me the knowledge that I needed to help him get victory in his life. We need to quit trying to pastor churches like secular therapists. And we need to let the Holy Ghost work through us. It's the answer to pastoring churches. I don't have time to tell you our miracles, but I'm telling you it's the answer to building buildings. Round Out City, they think I'm a great businessman. I'm not a great businessman. I've just tried to do everything the Holy Ghost told me every step of the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our building of, see, 1,650 people now is full. So we just went out and acquired 42 and a half more acres. And we're going to try to build one that seats 5,000. And we got all that. And we got 12 acres. We're doing an industrial park on to raise funds for this. And you people say, man, how do you do that? I don't know. But the Holy Ghost. I said the Holy Ghost. I said the Holy Ghost. When he said, go buy that piece of property, and I said, I don't have a dime to buy it with. I went to the man, looked him in the eye, and said, I need it anyway. The man said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, just give us a lease option. And we got it. All I know is we got it. I can tell you phenomenal miracles. I'm telling you, Pastor, you don't have to stay stuck in that place that you don't feel good about when you go there to worship the Lord and your people don't. I'm telling you, God can help you. The Holy Ghost can lead you. The Holy Ghost can work miracles. The Holy Ghost can provide finance. The Holy Ghost. Jesus. 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 I'm sorry, and I'm trying not to be critical, but you don't need to go to the seminar on how to handle your finances. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. It's the answer to evangelism. I said spirit-led evangelism is the answer. Knock on 1,000 doors if you want to. I commend you for doing it. But I'd much rather have an Ananias that's somewhere alone and the Holy Ghost shows him one man, one house, one door, what street, what to say when he gets there. He knocks on one door. He knows just where to go. And when he gets there, as a result, the whole Gentile world receives the gospel. I said, that's Holy Ghost evangelism. That's spirit-led evangelism. You get that in the heart of your people. They'll pray people through on the street corner. They'll pray people through in the grocery store. They'll pray people through in the parking lots. You come to church to see who got the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, revival's not complicated. We need to get ourselves in tune with Jesus. We need to get our minds off worldly things. We need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Have Holy Ghost in every service. Let Jesus walk the aisles. Let Him heal the sick, open the blinded eyes. Let Jesus do His thing. We will turn this world upside down. Moses is there at the burning bush. God said, I want you to go down there and get those people out of Egypt. Egypt's the type of the world. That's what I want you to go do. That's the same assignment God's given to us. I want you to go do it. And Moses gives him a very impressive dissertation of why he is incapable of accomplishing that God has asked him to do. His dissertation is almost as impressive as some preachers I know, who tell me why they can't have revival in their city, why they can't have revival in their church. They've got it all together. They got all the answers, all the reasons why they can't, why they can't, why they can't. Moses had that too. And he told all of it to God, but God wasn't impressed. In fact, God asked him a question that seemed to be completely irrelevant to everything that Moses had said. He said, what do you got in your hand? I said, God, we're not talking about what's in my hand. We're talking about me supposed to get those people out of Egypt. I can't do that. They will not hearken unto my voice. That's what he said. They will not hear me. Same thing a bunch of us are saying. This world won't listen to us. They're not going to hear what we've got to say. They're not going to receive our message. That's what we're telling God. We're just a bunch of poor little Pentecostals that are going to hang on till Jesus comes, and we're going to someday walk on streets of gold, and we're just back here in the corner somewhere. The world doesn't want our message. They don't want to hear what we've got. Don't you know that, God? Don't commission us to go preach this to every creature. They will not hear what we have got to say. God said, what's in your hand? God, we're not talking about that. We're talking about all of my good reasons why I can't do what you're asking. We're talking about all my good reasons why we can't fill our church up.
My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear God. Dear God. He said, well, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. And Moses threw it down. And his rod turned into a snake. And I know Moses was a man of good sense, because the Bible said he fled from it. But can you imagine? He turned a stick into a snake. Wow. Wow. What course in Bible school did you learn that? Where can we go to learn that? Where did they teach how to turn sticks into snakes? I want to take that class. I want to learn how to do that. That's the whole object of the story. He said, then put your hand. And first he told him to pick the rod up, and it became a rod again. He not only could turn it into a snake, he could turn the snake into a stick. Then he said, put your hand in your bosom. He pulled it out, and it was white with leprosy. He said, put it again. He pulled it out. It was made whole. And God went on to tell him, if you'll read the story in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, God went on to tell him, if that's not enough, I'll do more. Somebody should have shouted then. God told him, said, if my turning a stick into a snake and turning a snake into a stick and making your hand leprous and then healing it is not enough to make them listen to what you've got to say, I'll just give you some more miracles. And I'll keep on working miracles for you until they stop and say, we better listen to this guy. We better hear what he's got to say. I'm telling you, you can get your city's attention. You can get your city's attention. You can't do it with banners, and you can't do it with enough radio broadcast, and you can't put it in the newspaper enough times to do it. But I tell you, if you'll let Jesus work, if you'll let the miraculous power of God be demonstrated, they'll stop in their tracks to hear what you've got to say. More programs. We don't need more advertisements. We don't need more promotion. We need more Holy Ghost and power. We need more demonstration of the Spirit. Demonstration of the Spirit. We need people to pray, people to fast, people to worship, people to believe, people to let God move, people to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Everybody stand. I feel God moving in this place. You told about it, Brother Mallory, this afternoon, but such is the revival of Ethiopia. We always hear about the day people get the Holy Ghost, but I was there. I was there the day before those tens of thousands get the Holy Ghost. The day before. In fact, they asked me to speak that day. Just preach a little faith message. That Jesus can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. He swept across that vast audience of people. I'll never forget that little old man pushing his way up to the front there. They weren't supposed to, but he pushed his way up to where I was. I'll never forget looking down and his cloudy cataract eyes. It looked like milk spots on both of his pupils covering his eyes. I'll never forget as faith began to sweep across that vast body of people. I laid my hands over on him. It was like somebody took a pen and pricked a little point in each eyeball where there was one little clear spot in each eyeball. And then I stood there and watched as that cloudy, milky substance began to recede to the outer perimeters of his pupil until it was all gone. And the man began to jump and leap up and down. I can see! I can see! I can see! I said, Jesus did that.
Jesus did that. The next day we had tens of thousands get the Holy Ghost. But we had some demonstrations of His power first.
We were in revival one night this last year. Brother Jonathan Suber was there with us. Power, God was moving. There are a few times that I've been in services that to me, and that day in Ethiopia when all of those people began to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost was one such occasion in my life. There have been a very few times in my life. It feels like, it's like to me, it's kinetic energy that just begins to jump. Things begin to jump. It reminds me of an old movie projector in the classroom at school when the thing used to get off track and it began to jump. That's the way things look to me. The few times that I've been able to step over into that dimension, and it began to happen in that service. For just a few moments, it swept across that building and it was just snapping and popping and crackling, and the power of God was like electricity snapping through that building. All of a sudden, I heard a blood-curdling, curdling scream. I was on this side of the pulpit. Brother Super was on that side, and I was praying for somebody here. He was praying over there, and I ran over there where the scream was. He had his eye, hand over one lady's one eye, and I said, "What's the matter? Is that eye blind?" He said, "No, that's her good eye." Amen. And she just discovered that when I put my hand on her good eye, she can still see. I tell you, you can't buy that kind of publicity and favor. I'm telling you, one work of the Holy Ghost can capture the attention of an entire city. You folks don't act like you believe that. I said, you don't act like you believe that. Take somebody by the hand right now. I want you to pray that the Holy Ghost will be released in this building. Pray that the Spirit of Jesus Christ will begin to flow in this house from the front to the back, from side to side. Come on, I want you to pray, not just a little prayer. I want you to submit your flesh to the Spirit. Submit your flesh to the Spirit. Submit your flesh to the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Talk in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Come on, let the Holy Ghost loose in this place. Turn the Holy Ghost loose in this house. Turn Jesus loose in this place. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Don't stop. Don't back up. Press on. Pray through your flesh. Pray beyond your flesh. Come on, pray beyond your flesh. Push beyond your flesh. Push into the realm of the Spirit. If you will, we're about to see some miracles. If you'll do it, we're about to see some Holy Ghost miracles in this house. Come on, pray. Pray. Loose the Holy Ghost. Loose the Holy Ghost in this house. Loose the Holy Ghost in this house. Do you want to just have church? Do you want to just say we had a good conference? Or do you want a demonstration of the power of God? If you want the Holy Ghost to work, come on, press into the Spirit. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everybody in this building, pray, 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 pray. He's here to do it. 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 Don't walk out of here if you don't have to. Don't move if you don't have to. Come on, one mind, one accord. Everybody, everybody believing. Everybody praying. Everybody reaching. That's it. Come on. It's coming. It's coming. There is a release of the Spirit that's coming. I feel it coming. There is a release of the Holy Ghost coming. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't back up. Come on. Press. Press. Reach. Reach. Reach.
We're almost there. We're almost there. Don't stop there. We're almost there. Come on, put a little more yourself into it. Pour out of yourself a little more. Come on, pray. You need a miracle. I want you to step into one of these aisles with your hands raised. Step into one of these aisles with your hand raised. And begin to just walk. Walk back and forth and to and fro in this building. Walk back and forth and to and fro. Come on, get out of your familiar surrounding. You need a miracle? You need a miracle? Come on, get out of your familiar fleshly surrounding. That's it. Come on. Come on, break through. Break through. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over cancer. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the tumor. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we curse it by the power of the Spirit of our God. We take authority over it this night. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, claim it. Claim it. Some of you are feeling it, right? Some of you, God is working. Let the chains fall off, Jesus. Hallelujah. I rebuke the spirit of doubt. I rebuke the spirit of unbelief, God. I rebuke the spirit of unbelief that has laid hold of the heart of men in this building. I rebuke it. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a Jesus, Jesus. Come on, church, pray. God's doing miracles right now. God's doing miracles. This is a demonstration of His Spirit. This is a demonstration of His Spirit. This is where Holy Ghost revival is. This is where New Testament revival is. People need to be getting the Holy Ghost. You know somebody that needs the Holy Ghost? Reach over and say, hold on. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Come on, shout the sound of triumph. Come on, rejoice. Holy Ghost is in this place. The Holy Ghost is in this place. The Holy Ghost is in this house.
Yeah. just know it.